Thank you so much, Pastor Ken. It's just such a joy to be here with you and an honor, especially with this tremendous celebration. I appreciate your pastor and his wife so much because they're truly pastors. As I saw him share here a few moments ago, he's just a proud daddy. You know, he just loves each and every one of you. And for us pastors that have got longevity on our side in ministry, you know, when you see those children and they grow up and you end up dedicating and then marrying them, and oh my goodness, it's just absolutely wonderful. It really is. And I appreciate this fellowship. First time that I've spoken here, but obviously been in this church many times because of Anchor. But the relationship we have is absolutely wonderful. I want to tell you, the church, not only this church, but the church in general, is alive. Yes. God is moving in spite of all that other undercurrent and other stuff that you hear. God is moving and people are being touched, lives are being changed. And I want to share about that because God has given me a particular word for this fellowship that God has laid on my heart, because I've been praying for several weeks knowing that I was coming. But what God had laid in my spirit was this: you've had an incredible 50 years, but the next decade will be your greatest harvest ever. Take that to heart. Amen. God is not finished with this church. You've had a great 50 years. Wonderful, celebratory. It's a jubilee. You know, there were different sabbatical years in the children of Israel's life until, you know, after the return of the exiles, and then the jubilee seemed to stop. But the word jubilee comes from the Hebrew yobel, which simply means to be jubilant. And that's the way it's been over the last 5 weeks. And of course, last night for you as well also means to exalt. The word is related to the Hebrew word for ram's horn or trumpet. The jubilee year was launched with a blast from the ram's horn and the Day of Atonement, signifying a call to joy. God wants you and I to be joyful. You know, if you lose your joy, you're in trouble. You know, I usually break joy down. J-O-Y, J-O-Y, surely this must mean Jesus first, yourself last, others in between. And that's a good motto to have, you know, within our life. But it also meant liberation. You can be free. The theme of our church for this year was you can be free in 2023. Because a lot of people have got bands and addictions and just need the Lord. But God works through you and I. And that's what I want to encourage you with today, is that God is giving you a new beginning. So you've had 50 years, so it's not an end of something, it's a beginning of something, a beginning of something brand new for this fellowship and for your lives. And my heart today is to bring edification, exhortation, comfort into your life, and to show you how important that you are to God. You, and you may not have seen it like this, but you are part of God's master plan. He is the great architect. He's the builder. Just like this church was building, the foundation and everything was set, there was labor that needed to be done. People had to come alongside. And God wants to use each and every one of you, from the oldest to the youngest, because we're all equal in God. We're all important to the Lord. But unfortunately, there's an old voice in our head sometimes that don't tell us who we are, but tell us things that are negative within our life to put us down, making us feel inadequate, you know, inefficient, not having enough funds or whatever it may be. Maybe the voice is saying you're not good enough. Well, I'm here today to tell you that that's a lie. God is looking for each and every single one of us to serve Him and to honor Him. There are two things that I've found that God honors in our life, and I see it within your leaders here at the church and Pastor Ken. The two things are these. Number one, and you've heard the second one, but number one is faith. And the second one is faithfulness. God operated in faith, and he was faithful. It takes faith to please God. The Bible tells us that. But we also have to be faithful. Amen? Faithful to the call, faithful to the challenge, faithful to our partner, faithful to our family, faithful to our community. We have to literally live it out. We're the book that everybody reads. You know, there's so much social media out there today that we can take advantage of and allow that to be a blessing to our family and friends, because you've got the answer to their problem. And the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no greater joy than serving the Master. Amen? And following him. Realize first and foremost who you are in Christ. Amen? You're just as good when you don't feel good as when you do feel good. So when you don't feel good, praise God as if you did feel good, and pretty soon you will feel good. And you have to tell yourself that all of the time, because the enemy will constantly try to tell you what you're not. But the Bible tells us who we are. God wants us to stand in the gap. You're important to the kingdom. You're important to this fellowship. And God wants to use each and every one of us. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 63 and verse 5, listen to these words. And again, this will prove that God's looking for us to do something. Will he find us? Are we willing? Will we stand in the gap? And I looked. Can you imagine God? And I looked, and there was none to help. I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me. In my fury, it upheld me. God was looking for people to do his business, to work alongside him. See, it's God working in us. It's God working through us. Amen? And sometimes we forget that. I mean, God could do everything by himself, just like he did here and brought forth Christ and so forth because of all of the rebellion. But the fact is, it's wonderful when God works through you, because it always amazes you what he can do. Amen? He formed us out of the dust of the earth. You know, he's an incredible God. In Jeremiah 5:1, run you to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know and seek in the broad places thereof. If I can find a man, if I can find a woman, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. You see, God's desire is to win souls. His desire is that the whole world will be saved. That's the desire of God. Now, we recognize that that will not be the case, but we're going to do everything within our power to touch as many lives as we possibly can in this decade that lies ahead of us. God is looking towards you, and he's looking towards me. It's not time to give up and quit. Is it going to be easy? Absolutely not. But that's what makes it interesting. It really does. It's the tough times that make it interesting, because it comes to the place where you recognize you can't do it, but God can do it through you. And that's where faith comes into play. I could tell you story after story after story in my own life how God intervened. And I'm sure you could tell some of the similar stories of how God has intervened in your life, because that's why you're here today. God has done something already in your life, but he's even preparing you for greater and more wonderful things to happen. In Psalm 106, an interesting story here regarding the life of Moses. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them had not Moses chosen and stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. God had come to the place, this great God of love. Sin was so prominent. It was just incredible, just like today, you know. God said to Moses, just step out of the road. I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth, and I'm going to start over with you. Moses said, no. He stood in the gap. He stood in the breach. God is looking for you and I to do the same. People are hurting. People are broken. People have been lied to. You know, they're in the place right now where they need your help and my help. Will we help them? Will we love on them? Will we care for them? You know, not always pointing the finger, but just coming alongside. Not even preaching sometime, but just being there to bring the comfort and the strength that they are needed. Ezekiel puts it this way in Ezekiel 22, 30 and 31. Here it is again. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But here is the sad state. He says, I found none. Let not that be the case in our lives. Amen. We're ready. We're willing. Thank you, Lord, for 50 years of great things happening and take place, blood, sweat, and tears. And it may be another, you know, decade of that. But God, we're going to stand in the gap so the people will get saved. Their lives will be transformed and turned around for your honor and for your glory. He said, therefore, I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their head, saith the Lord. Isn't that sad? There is a judgment. One day we will all stand before God and we will have to give an account of what we did while we were here on this earth. Every single one of us, we need to do something. It's easy to watch others do it, you know, but don't do that. You be the one to step up. You may not have the education, but God will help you. You may not have the resources, but God will bring them about. That's what God loves to do. God is still a God of signs, wonders, and miracles. He really is. Never, ever forget that. Of course, the greatest miracle of all is that of the salvation of a soul, you know. And the other thing that is so critical in our life, as much as we want to see the miracles and the signs and the wonders, and trust me, I've seen them. I've seen God do all of that, and he's still doing it around our world today, you know. He's saving people. He's just transferring their life. But what reaches people more than anything else is when they see our love one for another. That's how they know that we are his disciples. Amen. Not by the miracles, but by our love, by our care. And we will see that in some other scriptures. You see, Ezekiel was living in such a time when Jerusalem had fallen into terrible sin. They had opened themselves literally up to destruction. Sin is really self-destruction. If you leave man long enough to himself, he will destroy himself unless Christ is in his life, unless Christ is in our heart, unless Christ is filling the void. It's not getting another wife, another husband, not getting a better car, bigger house. You know, God can bless us with such things. But what fills the void in our life? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Spirit of the living God. Then you can appreciate everything that God has put into your hands. That's why you can enjoy this beautiful place. Why? Because God's number one in the heart of the leaders. They love God. And this is a result of God's blessing upon their lives. But sin is all around us. But you know what the Bible says? Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Amen? You know, hell has never stopped anybody from going there. But I tell you what has, the love of God. That's what stops people from going there. Not just preaching about hell. Yeah, it's real, but it's God. Isaiah 59, verse 16 through 19. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Boy, we need people to pray today. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate. We are to follow in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is whom this prophecy was all about here. God wants us to put on the breastplate, the helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with the seal as his cloak. According to their deeds, according he will repay. Fury to his adversaries. God will deal with the situations and the wrongs that have come against us down the road. Our job is to preach Christ and Christ crucified. Don't worry about all of that other stuff, okay? But the Bible says something here in verse 19, which is wonderful, that I want to bear out a little bit. Because each one of us at different times come under attack. Anyone never come under any kind of attack from the enemy? You know, he's subtle, isn't he? He's crafty. But the Bible says this, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The King James has the comma at the end of the flood, but the comma really should be when the enemy shall come in, comma, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. The moment that that enemy tries to come near you to stop you doing what God's called you to do, to minister, to help, to see healing in your relationship or whatever it may be, God's Spirit will automatically come forth and lift up that standard and put to flight the enemy. That's why the Bible says resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. Amen? But you got to do the resisting. You can't leave an open door. You've got to trust in the Lord at all times. God will put the enemy to flight. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 through 4, and of course this is relating to the Lord Jesus Christ, but also, as you know, when Jesus went into the temple, and we read in Luke 4, verse 18 there, he quotes this. But I want you to see this here today as God being in your life. Of course, he's in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is in each and every one of us. But when is the last time you said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me? Wow. You need to think that way. God's Spirit is upon you. Amen? But we don't say that, you know. We come up with all of the various excuses of why not. But God's Spirit is upon me because he hath anointed me. Say me. Look at your neighbor and say you. To preach good tidings unto the meek. Amen? You have a message to share. You have a story to tell. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. You don't need to look too far to find people that are broken today. They're all around us. But they need the love of God to proclaim liberty to the captive. People can be set free. People are being set free from all kinds of addictions today. God is still moving. And I want to encourage you that in this next decade, you're going to see many people coming and receiving the Lord and being set free because they've tried everything else and everything else is not working. But Jesus does. Amen. The opening of prison to them that are bound. People are bound today, but Jesus is the chain breaker. Amen. He's breaking chains. He can set people free to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn. You know, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I know some of you have lost loved ones and are hurting, but God loves you, and you know, one day we're going to see each other again. One day. Bible says a day with the Lord's 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as a day. You're going to see them tomorrow. You ever thought of it that way? Because God, time doesn't mean anything to God. We're going to see them again. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. I don't know where you may be today, but God can turn your ashes into beauty. He can give you a brand new testimony, a brand new story. You may say, Pastor, I feel so many times. He'll keep on loving you until you don't. Don't give up on God. Keep following him. You may have been hurt along the way. I just sense there's someone here today has been hurt, probably maybe hurt in church. You can get hurt in church. Sheep bite. Bah. It hurts. But thank God for sheep. Amen. We're all sheep. Amen. He's our shepherd. He's a wonderful, wonderful shepherd. But don't give up on God because somebody has hurt you. Draw closer to the Lord. Don't allow the enemy to use that situation. You are too important to God because God wants you to keep on doing what God has called you to do. Fulfill the purposes of the Lord. Amen. He goes on to say, the oil of joy for mourning. Joy is a wonderful thing. It really is. It's contagious. It's a bit like yawning. Somebody just yawned right over there. Just mentioned the word. Joy. It's so precious. It really is. Never lose the joy of the Lord. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You see, the enemy doesn't want you to be joyful. He doesn't want you to be in that rejoicing place because he knows that when you have the victory, he's beat. He'll stop knocking at your door when you start rejoicing in the Lord. That we might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. You see, it's God has ordained you to be here. God has ordained a purpose for your life within the family that you're in, with the job that you're in. I've heard so many times people say, oh, Lord, help me to get into a Christian business. Well, they're all saved. Stay where you are. You're the light in that business. It may be hard. It may be tough. You know, but God needs you there. If we're always around Christians, we'll never win, you know, win the lost. The fact is, God has you where you are for a reason. Somebody's thinking of quitting. Don't quit. Hang in there. Watch God save that boss. Watch him give you a raise and put you up into a higher position. God can do all of those things if we will just look to him and trust the Lord. It goes on here to say, the planting of the Lord that, and I love this, that he might be glorified. That's what you've been doing over these last 5 weeks and the various decades that you've gone through. You've been giving God the glory because you recognize it was him that has done it. Not you, but it's God. But God works through us. We're his hands, we're his feet. I know this may seem simplistic, but we need to get back to the basics again. Amen? B-I-B-L-E, basic instruction before leaving earth, you know. We have to get back to that place where the Word of God is paramount in our lives. We're prayed up and we're serving the Lord. Whatever God wants us to do. Most people I meet all want to start from the pulpit. They all want to start up here. But you know something? Never be ashamed to do anything for Jesus, no matter what it is. Amen? Success is not seeing how many people that can serve us. Success, true success, how many people can we serve? How many people can we help? How can we be a blessing? Spend time. Most of us are too much in a hurry in life. Take time and listen. Amen? That's why God gave us two of these, one of these. We need to listen more and then give the right answers. In Psalm 84, verse 11, for the Lord God is the sun and the shield. You see, God is with us in our calling, in our ministry, whatever it is, whatever he's asking you to do, you're not alone. Christ in us, the Bible says, the hope of glory. So we experience the ray of the sun, the actual heat of the sun, God just shining down on us. And then we have God being that shield. Have you ever thought what God has shielded you from? A lot of times we think of what we go through. But what about the stuff that didn't get to you because you were shielded from it? Stuff that didn't get to the ministry here that could have destroyed it along those 50 years. Because I'm telling you, the enemy probably tried along the lines. But look what the Lord has done. You're still here today and pressing on. Revelation 12, and I heard a loud voice firsthand saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength. God will give you the strength. Amen? When I am weak, that's when I'm strong. Not when I think I'm strong, but when I'm in that place where I get on my knees, say, Lord, help. The greatest prayer that a Christian can pray is one word, help. That's simple. And it's amazing what God will do. Because now has come salvation and strength. The kingdom of our God. The kingdom is alive. The church is alive, as I've said earlier. and the power of His Christ. There's still power in our lives. Use the power. You can have a beautiful car sitting out there, but you don't switch the thing on, it's useless. You can admire it all you want, but put it into operation. You have to put one foot in front of the other. You must take steps of faith. Amen. Then corresponding actions. You've got to do something so that God will intervene and do the part you cannot do. Amen. And there's always a balance in faith. Amen. I'm not asking you to go out and jump into the middle of the Atlantic and to swim to shore. But just go out a little bit further each time and trust the Lord and watch what God will do. Amen. He'll do amazing things if you'll just walk in faith and allow God to be God. But now has come salvation and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down. Always be more God conscious than devil conscious. Problem today, too many people are, the devil did this, the devil did that, the devil did the other thing. And sometimes we give him glory for stuff he hasn't even done. It was us. We didn't listen. You know, he's cast down who accused them before our God day and night. But here's the great secret. In your life and the life of this church. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Remembering what was accomplished on Calvary. And by the word. I want you to get this. The word of their testimony. Precious one. I want to tell you, you have got a testimony. You have got a story. And you need to start sharing it. Don't keep it to yourself. It's an amazing story. We read this because of the incredible stories. The wonderful prophets, the apostles, the disciples. These incredible books and stories that are in here. Do you know that your story is equally as important? Do you know that? God's Holy Spirit's in your life. If your story was in here, I mean, when you think about the little widow who gave the mite, she's in here, you know. Wow, that was her story. The woman who touched the hem of His garment, she's in here, you know. Talks about Lazarus, that's his story. But your story is equally as wonderful, and people need to hear it. I'm not saying we don't read this. Boy, this you need to read this. Every single day, have a good daily Bible reading program and prayer life. It is critical that this is in your life. Oh boy, gotta go here. Wow, there's so much I'd love to share, but Isaiah 54, verse 17. Get this into your spirit. No weapon. Say that with me. No weapon. No weapon that is formed against me is going to prosper. None. Every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not our righteousness. Man, it's His righteousness is inside of us. Amen. Just simply means right standing with God. Isn't it good to be in right standing with God? Yes. But we also need to be in good standing with each other. As well. That's equally as important as well. You see, Jesus and God wants us to demonstrate His love. Just as what Jesus said in John chapter 17. And the glory, He said, which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. There's something amazing that when a body comes together. I mean, that's why COVID was so hurtful. I mean, people were isolated, you know. But when a body comes together and there is unity, you know, just don't think, my goodness, you know, I can just meet with God on my own. Yes, you can. But I'm telling you, there's something when we come together corporately. Forget not this, the assembling of yourselves together. You know, you'll get people that'll try to pull you away. You're part of a great fellowship here. Stay part of it. Stay connected. We need one another. I don't know about you, but I love having my hand. I wouldn't want to have it cut off. Right? Some people have lost limbs and it's horrible. But it's nice when you have all the faculties working together. the body of Christ needs to function together. Amen? Because that term, the glory which thou gavest me, he says, I've given it, meaning God is honoring you. God is literally praising you. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. And amazing things are happening and taking place. Read a little homework for you here, because it talks about how God wants us to be bright and clear in our vision. And I know through your pastor, God is going to lead and guide you over this next decade. But read Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 12. Just let me give you a little part of it here. God's part and what he's wanting to do in Isaiah 58. God's part is that he will shine his glorious light on you. Health will spring forth speedily. Righteousness will lead you forward. And God's glory shall protect you from behind. Isn't that incredible? Wow. Isn't it good serving the Lord? I'm telling you. Boy, we always win. We always win. And the second part is, you'll call on the Lord and he will answer you. Call on the Lord and he will answer you. You see, God's people, you and I, whether you realize it or not, we have a supernatural wall of protection around us. Zechariah 2:4 says that. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her, speaking of Jerusalem, speaking to you and I as believers, a wall of fire round about, and I will be the glory in the midst of her. He is the glory in the midst of our life. We need to shine forth that glory and honor God every single day of our life. And we need to loose people from the oppression that they're under in these days in which we live. Remember that old song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. I want to encourage you as I close, walk in a covenant relationship with God every day. Walk in God. Hang around people that love God, that will influence you, that will encourage you. And then take what you have and reach out to those that don't have what you have and share that love with them. So quickly, six ways to stand in the gap. Have fervent charity among yourselves. Exhort and comfort one another. Bear one another's burdens. Restore each other in gentleness. Don't cast aside. Everybody needs help. Notice, prayer is critical in our life. Jesus prayed for Peter in Luke 22 there. You know, Jesus said, Satan has desired to have you as wheat, but I've prayed for you. He wanted to sift you, but I prayed for you. Pray. And Isaiah 58, what I've given you here for homework, is constantly speak positive. You know, be an overcomer. Talk right. Yes. Live right. Amen? Yes. Live for Jesus. You know, you can't soar like an eagle if you're hanging around turkeys. Okay? Live right and serve the Master. Father, I just thank you for this wonderful congregation of KW Christian Fellowship. So thankful for their leaders, Pastor Ken and Kay, Pastor David, the staff, their board, each one, Lord, that serves in whatever capacity. Lord, I'm excited for the years that lie ahead, because all I can see, Lord, is incredible growth, people getting saved, people lining up, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for the thousands, Lord, even through the celebration of lights that have come through this place. But now, Lord, let it be next time when they come through, they're going to come through and stay. They're going to be part of this fellowship, Lord. They've heard the good news. Now help them to come and be part of this church. And this whole Kitchener, Waterloo area, Lord, God, we commit it into your hands. Holy Spirit, do a work like we have never seen before. But thank you, Lord, for the 50 years of experience. And now, Lord, thank you for the next decade. In your precious name, amen and amen.